Welcome to Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. On this most blessed and holy day of Sri Radhastami, may Sri Radharani and her eternal servants shower their infinite blessings upon all of you. Radhastami is the happiest day for Krishna. Bhagavatam describes when you water the root of the tree, then all the leaves, branches, twigs, flowers are satisfied. Krishna is the root of all existence. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate. He's the source, the root of all material and spiritual worlds. Sarva karana karanam. He's the cause of all causes, and everyone is coming from Him. So when Krishna is happy, we find the greatest nourishment of spiritual satisfaction. This is the spiritual science, which is very opposite from material consciousness. Material consciousness means janasya moho yamaham mameti, thinking in terms of I and mine, and trying to satisfy our false ego through various pursuits. But Krishna consciousness, our original natural consciousness, is opposite. Real happiness comes through seva, through service. When service is offered to the Supreme Lord with love, it is watering the root of the tree of our existence. And then we are happy. Purification of heart can be understood to the degree we find that we're putting our own egoistic concerns behind and putting the will of Krishna in the forefront. And in the completely purified state, our egoistic concerns cease to exist forever. And there is only the one pointed, determined aim in life to please Krishna. Sam sadira haditoshanam. Savai pungsang paro dharmo yato bhaktir hokshaji ahoitaki aprati hataya yatma suprasidati. The supreme occupation for all humanity is loving devotional service to the Supreme Transcendent Lord. But such service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted by any material considerations in order to completely satisfy the self. So Krishna, by pleasing Krishna, not only do we satisfy ourselves, but we bring the greatest satisfaction to the whole universal creation. And what brings the greatest pleasure to Krishna? The pleasure of His beloved, Srimati Radharani. What gives the greatest pleasure to Srimati Radharani? The pleasure of Krishna. So this is a most happy day for Krishna, celebrating Srimati Radharani's appearance. When she is put very much in the forefront of everyone's hearts, and what will please Krishna? When we worship Sri Radha with enthusiasm, with love, with gratitude, and with great joy. For this purpose we have come today to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. This beautiful diorama presentation depicts a scene in the very early days of Srimati Radharani's pastimes in this world. We learn that Vrishabhanu and his wife Kirtida, in previous life, they did tens and thousands of years to have the Supreme Goddess of Fortune as their daughter. Suchandra and Kalavati were their names. They were living near Gokul Mahavan in his village called Mukya Ravali. Today it is called Raval. Vrishabhanu Maharaj, he came out of his home, went toward the river Yamuna, and there, to his great astonishment, lying in the center whorl of a lotus flower, was a beautiful baby girl. Her golden complexion was brilliantly illuminating all the directions. Lord Brahma appeared and presented that little baby girl to her. He took the child home and presented it to his beloved wife, Kirtida Rani. Their hearts were filled with joy, but it was mixed with sorrow, because the child refused to open her eyes. Was she blind? And similarly, the child would not make a single sound. Was she dumb? She didn't acknowledge any sounds. Was she deaf? This they could not understand. Perhaps time would tell. Vrishabhanu Maharaj was very dear friends with Nanda Maharaj. They loved each other like brothers, as did Yashoda Mai and Kirtida Mai. Yashoda Mai was so happy. She wanted to go to see the newborn child of her friend. But in the meanwhile, Narada Muni, he understood that Krishna has taken birth in this world, so the Supreme Goddess of Fortune, Srimati Radharani, would also be taking birth. So he was searching throughout Braj Bhumi. And by his great wisdom, he came to the house of Vrishabhanu Raj. And when he came in the home, he wanted to see the child. Vrishabhanu Maharaj was thinking that if the great Rishi Narada blesses her, then maybe she will open her eyes and see. When Narada Muni saw this most beautiful infant baby, His heart melted with love. He understood here was the supreme reservoir of all devotion, the object of all of his devotion. He asked to be alone with the small child. And there he worshipped her, offered prayers for her, circumambulated her, and prayed to her that he could see her in her eternal form of the spiritual world. And Srimati Radharani manifested that form, the form of a beautiful young girl who is eternally approximately 14 years old. The essence of all beauty, the essence of all mercy and love. Narada Muni fell unconscious. When he finally came to consciousness, he could only dance and sing and glorify the beauty of Srimati Radharani. It was the ultimate perfection of all of his long, long years of devotional service, and prayed for her mercy. Then Srimati Radhika again assumed the tiny little form of a newborn baby. And Narada Muni, his clothes wetted by tears, his limbs trembling, his hair standing on end, was calling out, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. Vrishabhanu Maharaj, Kirtida, they came in the room, and Narada Muni could not disclose to them the truth. It was not his beloved mistress, goddess Radharani's wish. So exclaiming their good fortune, he left that place. Soon after, Yashoda Mai came with her little child, who was recently born also, Gopal. And Srimati Radhika was sitting on a little seat like this. And as Kirtida and Yashoda were discussing, marveling over the beautiful baby girl, Gopal crawled up to her and reached up to touch her. When Gopal's face was right in front of her face, Srimati Radhika opened her eyes. And she cried out for Krishna. She did not want to see anything but Krishna. She did not want to speak or make a sound except the glorification of Krishna. This is the eternal nature of the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srimati Radharani. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains how she is Krishna's Ladini Shakti, his pleasure potency, non-different from him. She's the source of all other Shaktis. Radharani is the original source of all the Lakshmi Devis, who are the consorts of Narayan in Vaikuntha. She is the source of Sita, the consort of Sri Ramchandra. She is the source of Parvati, Durga, who appears to perform her functions within this material existence. Krishna is the supreme Shaktiman, or possessor of all Shaktis. And Srimati Radharani is the origin of all Shaktis. So Lakshmi Sita, Sri Radha, they are none different. The same personality of Godhead. But in the original form of Sri Radharani, her full-fledged opulence of the sweetest ecstasies of love alone are manifested in the eternal land of Vrindavan. The beautiful pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna are eternally manifested in Vrindavan Dham. I would like to discuss a particular subject simply to contemplate the divine nature of Srimati Radharani's love. Srila Prabhupada explained that in Vrindavan, the spiritual world, devotees are more inclined toward chanting Radha's name than Krishna's. Why is this? Actually, one time Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was approached by this Dr. Sanyal. And Dr. Sanyal, a very dear, learned disciple, was explaining to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati that a very, very important man, very powerful, wealthy landowner, he met him at Radha Kund. And he saw that this person was offering his dandavat parikrama to Sri Radha Kund and Shama Kund. He was bowing down, getting up, bowing down, full prostration. And in this way going all around Sri Radha Kund and Shama Kund. And he was expressing to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur what devotion this person has. Although he's so powerful and he's so wealthy and he's so famous, still offering his full prostrations all the way around. Takes long time, so much devotion. And Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur responded that yes, but his inner consciousness is very much different than ours. His consciousness is that Radharani, worshipping Radharani is very important because she is so dear to Krishna. But our consciousness is that we accept Krishna because he is so dear to Srimati Radharani. Because we do not approach Krishna directly. We approach Krishna through the supreme reservoir of loving service. That is Srimati Radharani. She is the source of the service attitude in all of creations. Navadvip and Vrindavan have backgrounds that are very similar. In fact, the acharyas and the scriptures explain there is no difference between Vrindavan and Navadvip, the land of Krishna and the land of Lord Chaitanya. Krishna's Vrindavan is Madhurya Dham. It is the abode of the highest sweetness. And Navadvip is Audarya Dham, the abode of munificence. The same identical sweetness of Vrindavan, but it is accommodating and accessible even to the fallen souls of the age of Kali. This is magnanimity. When something very great and precious is given to those who are least deserving. Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna and Radharani in one form, Krishna comes to taste the sweetness of Sri Radha's love and appears with her heart, emotions, and her complexion. That is Lord Chaitanya. And he was performing the Leelas of Vrindavan with his eternal associates who had descended from Goloka with him through the performance of Nam Sankirtan throughout Navadweep. And they were having such wonderful, enjoyable times always. Practically day and night, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was with his associates. They were discussing Krishna. They were dancing. They were singing. They were distributing love of God in all directions. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu observed that there was opposition. There was people who were proud. Proud of their caste. Proud of their education. Proud of so many material considerations. And there were those who considered God to be just an impersonal, formless existence. In this way, they were attacking the form, the personality, and the eternal attributes of the all-loving object of everyone's heart, Krishna. Opposition. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas and left Navadweep in the middle of the night in order to deliver those souls by his causeless mercy. Because he knew anyone who bows down to me will attain the highest perfection. As a sannyasi, everyone will bow down to me. Hare Krishna. It would give him the credibility where people would hear his message with greater attention. Thus he took sannyas and left Navadweep to deliver, to overcome the opposition parties. And the residents of Navadweep were plunged in a fathomless ocean of love in separation. And similarly, we find in Vrindavan, Krishna is performing his leelas with the sakas. Balaram, Shridama, Subala, Stoka Krishna, Maru Mangala, Ujvala, Arjun. Throughout the day, playing, frolicking through the pasture grounds of Braj. And in the evenings, and also during the day, he would slip away from the gopas and he would meet with Sri Radharani and gopis. So many mysterious, wonderful ways they would meet. And the most beautiful pastimes of pure transcendental love were enacted between Krishna and gopis in Sri Braj Bhumi, sometimes at Govardhan Hill, sometimes at Bank of Yamuna, sometimes in a Kadamba forest. Yes. Krishna and all the Brijabasis were immersed in the highest reciprocations of pleasure. And Nanda and Yashoda, what was their experience? Having the all-beautiful, all-attractive Krishna as their own child. and each cow and each elder gopa and gopi were considering Krishna to be their own child. They loved him in that way. But there was opposition. There was Kamsa, Jarasandha. While living in Vrindavan, asuras were coming every day. Putana, Sakatasura, Trinavarta, Vatsasura, Agasura, Vakasura, Vyomasura, Keshi, Agasura, Aristasura. So many were coming. Shankadasura, Sankachuda. Krishna was delivering them. But there were others outside. Outside of Braj Bhumi. Some of them had massive armies. And they were terrorizing the world. They were inflicting great pain upon the pious people. And Krishna descended. Internally, Krishna descended to simply display his beautiful Vrindavan pastimes. But out of his mercy and compassion, he had also come, paritranaya sadunam vinashaya cha duskratam dharma samstapanaradaya sambhavami juge juge, to deliver the world, to relieve them of these miscreants like Kamsa and Jarasandha and Shishupal and Bhomasura and Dantavakra. They were powerful demons with powerful armies. When Akrura came, Krishna understood his mission. Devaki, Vasudev, Ugrasena, and all the residents of Mathura, who were his own family members, the Yadus, they were suffering miserable persecution under Kamsa. And soon they would certainly die at his hands if Krishna did not rescue them. So Krishna decided to leave Vrindavan to gain victory over opposition. Same reason Lord Chaitanya left Navadvip. When Krishna was leaving, the Braj Gopis, headed by Sri Radha, they were begging him to stay, pleading with him to stay. They could not tolerate the thought. Can you imagine? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reveals the mood of gopis, and the scriptures do as well. When the gopis are standing before Krishna and they blink their eyes, that nimesha, that 1/12th of a second in time when the eyelash touches the lower eyelid, we don't even know. How many times have you blinked your eyes without even taking note during this class today? But for gopis, it's unbearable. That amount of time I'm not seeing Govinda is like 12 years or more. And Srimad Bhagavatam tells how gopis are actually expressing their dissatisfaction with Lord Brahma. He's an imperfect creator who has created imperfect eyes to see the all-perfect form of Krishna. Why he has created eyes that blink? Such a distraction, such an obstacle. That was the nature of their love. And now Krishna was going to leave for another land to fight with Kamsa and his armies? Very difficult. Impossible for them to imagine. they laid their bodies before the chariot wheels. That let us die. We cannot bear living without you. If you must go, then let the wheels of your chariot crush our bodies and end our life. But we cannot live without you. What was that? What was that intensity of the gopis' love? It was simply their desire to serve Krishna. They wanted nothing from Krishna. They simply wanted to serve Krishna. And they understood how much happiness Krishna gained by their service. It was unbearable for them to leave. But Krishna made a promise. He said that I will return. I have some duties to perform. But I promise I will come back. And Krishna left. And there was nothing they could do to stop him. It was that promise that kept them alive. When Krishna was in Mathura, he ended the life of Kamsa, Chanura, Mustika, liberated Vasudev, Devaki, Ugrasena, and all of the Yadus. But still, there was so many Asuras still living in this world. And he understood if he went back to Vrindavan, Jarasandha, with his huge, massive armies of millions of soldiers, elephants, artillery, they would attack Vrindavan. He did not want to create such an inconvenience. He did not want Vrindavan Dham to be such a battleground. Individual demons, they were very pleasurable for Krishna to deliver in Vrindavan, in his Vasudev expansion. But these other asuras, they had armies. They had big artilleries. They were very dangerous. It was his duty for the world. And also, it was his duty to speak Bhagavad Gita. He promises in Gita that he comes to reestablish the principles of religion. Vrindavan Dham is not the place to speak Bhagavad Gita. It's a place of sweetness and love. The most effective place for this scripture to be spoken was to be on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So Krishna had his mission. But at the same time, the nature of love is it is reciprocal. Krishna tells us in Gita, Man manabhava mad bhakto madhyajim nam namaskuru. Always think of me and become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. In this way you will come to me without fail. According to Kapila Dev, all of the injunctions, all of the instructions, all of the philosophy, logic, rules and regulations of all the scriptures throughout the entire creation are simply meant to bring us to the platform of following two instructions. To always remember God, Krishna, and to never forget Krishna. That is the culmination of Gita. And who perfected that science greater than the gopis of Vrindavan? They were in a fire of separation from Krishna. They could not eat, they could not sleep. And long time was passing. And whatever this ecstatic experience of pain and separation they were enduring, Krishna was enduring the same for them. How is this? Krishna reveals to Durvasa Muni in the 9th canto of Bhagavat that when my devotee gives his or her heart to me, I give my heart to my devotee. The same love that the Brijabasis were feeling for Krishna, Krishna was feeling that for the Brijabasis. But at the same time, there was so much still for him to do. He could not return. But how to maintain their lives? So he made the decision. He would send a message. But who is qualified to send such a message on behalf of Krishna? It was Krishna's decision. His dearest friend in all of the Yadu dynasty, Uddhava. Vasudev, Krishna's father, had a brother whose name was Devabhag. Devabhaga's son was Uddhava, which made him the first cousin brother of Krishna. Uddhava was the very personification of prema bhakti. Such love, such dedication, such good qualities. And he was so highly respected by all. Uddhava was a direct disciple of Brihaspati, the most learned sage who was the teacher of the devatas. Krishna accepted him as his minister, his counselor, just like we have our counseling system. Krishna accepted counseling, took advice and guidance from Uddhava. They would lay together, they would joke together, eat together. This was the intimacy of their friendship. Yes, everyone in Mathura understood that Uddhava was the dearmost devotee and friend of the Lord. So who would best represent him to the residents of Vrindavan? But Krishna had another reason. Because Uddhava was so surrendered with such humility and love, Krishna wanted to reciprocate by giving him the highest gift, the association of the Brijabasis. Because Uddhava would never understand the higher dimensions of spiritual love unless he associated with the residents of Brajbhumi. To crush Uddhava's pride that he was the great devotee and give him an understanding of Braj Prem, he called Uddhava and spoke. Srimad Bhagavatam explains Krishna, his feelings toward Uddhava. He said that you are so dear to me. Neither Brahma, Shiva, Shankarshan, Lakshmi, or even myself are as dear to me as you. You are Haridas Varya. You are my dearest devotee and friend. And therefore I have a mission for you. Krishna explained how the devotees in Vrindavan, my mother and father, Nanda, Yashoda, how they are suffering in the absence of their son. They gave their hearts to me and me alone, and I have left them. And I am feeling their pains in my heart. Please go to Vrindavan and pacify them. Encourage them. I wish for you to meet the gopis of Braj. They are my dearest devotees. They have surrendered the most difficult things for my sake. Not only were they willing to sacrifice everything of this world to please me, but they were willing to risk even the next life. They were willing to risk even going to hellish conditions only to please me. Such love with intensity is not to be found anywhere except the hearts of the gopis. And I have left them. And what they are going through in my absence. When I was leaving on the chariot of Akrura, with tears pouring from their eyes, they were begging me to stay. But when they saw my determination to go, they cried out, "Don't leave. Do not leave. We will put our bodies under the wheels of this chariot. Better we die if you leave Vrindavan. We have no reason to live." Krishna's leaving. Krishna's leaving. How will we survive? Krishna told Uddhava that I promised them that I would return. And that promise alone is keeping them alive. He gave an analogy to Uddhava. In the summer season, the sun blazes with heat. And there are turtles who are living in small ponds. And the sun, it dries up those ponds. How will the turtles survive? The only refuge they have is crawling under the mud for shelter. In a similar way, the gopis are like turtles. Their life, the lives of the gopis, are like these little innocent, helpless turtles. And separation from me is like that blazing sun. And their hearts are like the pond of water. It has dried up. There's nothing left. They cannot survive. But they are taking shelter of the mud, which is my promise that I will return. It is that promise alone that keeps them alive. Uddhava, as they love me, I love them. As they cannot live without me, I cannot live without them. Externally, my body is sitting here in Mathura. But my heart, my life, my everything is in Vrindavan with the gopis. Please give them this message and try to pacify their hearts. Uddhava went to Vrindavan. When he came, he met with Nanda and Yashoda. And after trying to pacify Nanda and Yashoda, but finding himself unsuccessful, he met with
the gopis.
When he saw the condition of gopis, he was astonished. They cried day and night. They were fainting. They gave up eating. They gave up sleeping. The only sound that came out of their mouth was the names and glories of Krishna. They were going from place to place in Vrindavan, discussing how this is what Krishna did in this place. And it was this pastime that Krishna did in that place. When Uddhava saw the nature of their love, he was overwhelmed. He felt totally insignificant. The gopis were speaking. They said to Uddhava that just like a bumblebee will go to a flower and sing beautiful songs, sweet, beautiful songs, glorifying that flower. And the bumblebee will even kiss the flower in great affection. Then drink the honey from that flower. But as soon as the honey is gone, the bumblebee is gone. Similarly, an unchaste woman, she will attract a young, handsome man with her glances and her gestures and her sweet words, because she wants his money. And she will enjoy with him and give him so much love and affection. But then when the money's gone, she's gone. But the gopi said, but Uddhava, our love is not like that. We want nothing for ourselves. Our love is unconditional. We are only loving for the pleasure of Krishna. The gopis told Uddhava that you have given us Krishna's message, but we cannot hear it. Why is Krishna doing this to us? Why? He has left us and we are in such a state of suffering and separation. We do not care for any material benefits. We do not care for liberation. We do not care for bodily comforts. We do not care for anything. We just want to serve Krishna as our family member. That's all. How is it that these pangs of separation are so deep in our heart? Actually, Uddhava, we don't care if we suffer. Our concern is for the rest of the world. If people think that those who have surrendered everything, who have exclusively given their hearts to Krishna, have to suffer like this, then who in this world is ever going to want to develop love for Krishna? It's in compassion for all living beings, because we know there's nothing meaningful. There's nothing at all that's real except love for Krishna. It's the sweetest, most nectarine of all experiences. The whole world should love Krishna. But who will take it seriously if they see the sufferings that we are enduring after surrendering everything for him? Please tell us, Uddhava, tell us, why is Krishna doing this to us? It was very difficult for Uddhava to answer this question. In his heart of hearts, he was thinking, I have no love at all. Now that I see the nature of the gopis. And then he came before, the gopis took him to the place where Srimati Radharani was laying on the ground. She had a high fever, over 110 degrees. The nature of her fever is in separation from Krishna. She was shedding torrents of tears, such abundance of tears that the ground became like small lakes of water, the water of her love. But then when she would fall down in a faint, her fever would immediately evaporate all the water and make into dry land. Srimati Radharani began speaking to a bumblebee. That beautiful episode is in Srimad Bhagavatam. When Uddhava heard her words, he was astonished. And then Srimati Radharani, laying down on the ground, she happened to see flying overhead a crow. And she cried out, Oh dear crow, oh dear crow, are you going toward Mathura? If not, please do. Please go to Mathura. Because I have a message I wish for you to deliver to Mathuranath, my beloved Krishna. Please give him this message urgently. Srimati Radharani spoke. Ask him this question. Is not the caretaker of his innocent dependents responsible for their life? If a man's house is on fire, it is the first duty of the master of that house to release the domestic animals from the house so they are not burned to death. This body is my house. I have already surrendered my body, my mind, my words, my life to you, Krishna. It is all your property. Your house is burning. Burning due to the fire of separation from you. And my life force, my spirit, is like that little domestic animal. It's burning. And burning, and burning, and crying, and crying, and crying. But it can't get out of the house. It can't get out of this burning body. It's obstructed. What is obstructing it? There is a bolt on the door in the form of your promise. I will come back. That hope. That hope keeps us alive. That hope prevents us from giving up this life. Please, come. Oh dear crow, tell Krishna. His little animals are burning to death. Retract that promise. Remove that bolt. And let us give up these lives. And then Srimati Radharani said, Oh Sakhi, please bring my body to the river Yamuna. And with the mud of the Yamuna, paint Krishna's names all over my body. And then with tulsi leaves and tulsi manjaris, place them on Krishna's names to worship Him. And then gather around me in a circle. And everyone together constantly chant Krishna's holy name. When Uddhava saw this particular gopi, he understood, this must be Srimati Radharani. I have heard about her. I have heard my dear friend Krishna. Sometimes when he's sleeping, sometimes when he's awake, he just goes into a deep mood of emotion and cries out, Radha, Radhe, Radhe. The dearmost beloved of the Lord's heart. I am now seeing the nature of her love. Uddhava's pride of being a friend of Krishna, a lover of Krishna, and a devotee of Krishna was crushed into fine powder. Seeing the gopi's love, he was thinking, I have no love at all. There's not even a single particle of a drop of love of Krishna in my heart compared to the gopis. They've given everything to him, unconditionally. Manmanabhava madbhakto. They are constantly thinking of Krishna. From the very innermost core of their hearts. Day and night. It's impossible for them to give up the thought of Krishna. How many of us have that problem? We are trying to remember Krishna, but we're diverted by so many other distractions. But the nature of the gopis' love is there's nothing within the 14 worlds that can distract their attention from Krishna for even a fraction of a second. That is pure bhakti in its most concentrated state. Yes, Uddhava was humbled totally. And then he was thinking in his heart that it was Krishna's mercy upon me to send me here just to understand what is love. Uddhava wanted to take the dust of the feet of Srimati Radharani and all the gopis. But he understood that that would be a very embarrassing situation because he was a royal prince of the Yadu dynasty and they're very simple, humble cowherd girls of a village. How embarrassed they would be if he were to take the dust of their feet. So he offered a prayer from the core of his heart, expressing his ultimate desire in life, that he could become a gulba lata, a simple herb or creeper, or even a blade of grass, on the ground in Vrindavan Dham. Because then the possibility would be there that Krishna's beloved gopis would step on top of his head and he would receive the ultimate treasure of life, the dust of their lotus feet. Uddhava was thinking that Krishna has sent me here with the mission of consoling them. But how can I console them? What can I say? When a materialistic person is in distress, we could console them. When they fail in their activities, or when they lose a beloved one, or when they're in a diseased condition, we can speak philosophy to them. That actually everything is temporary, and the soul is eternal. And if you just take shelter of the Lord, everything will be all right. Yes? All things pass in this world. Just be strong. Think positively. Surrender to Krishna. We can console materialistic people, no matter how difficult their tragedies in life are. But how do I console the gopis? Am I going to tell them? I can tell materialistic people, stop crying. Don't cry anymore. There's no need to cry. Don't you understand the truth? But can I tell the gopis, don't cry for Krishna? Can I tell the gopis, stop crying for Krishna? Crying for Krishna is the supreme ultimate perfection of life. It would be offense. It would be a great offense for me to tell the gopis to stop crying for Krishna. I can only tell them, cry, 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 cry more, cry more, cry more. You have achieved the ultimate perfection of life. Uddhava could not console gopis. He could only glorify their supreme position. Your love for Krishna, your absorption in Krishna, is unparalleled in any of the spiritual or material worlds. You are most fortunate, supremely fortunate, that by the grace of the Lord, you are totally immersed in crying for Krishna. Yes. Uddhava's conclusion was that he simply wanted to be a little piece of grass to gain the supreme treasure of the dust of the feet of the gopis on his head. Because Uddhava understood that even living with Krishna as his personal friend, year after year after year, he could never get the quality of love that the gopis had. Krishna would not give that. The only way to get this type of love is from the gopis. And you cannot take it from them. But by taking the most humble, menial position of a piece of grass under their feet, by their association, by their blessings, I will also learn the art of loving Krishna. When Uddhava returned to Mathura, he explained to Krishna his realization. And Krishna admitted to him, yes, that is why I sent you. Because you are so dear to me. There is no way you would have ever understood the purity, the sweetness, and the completeness of the love of the gopis without experiencing the vision with your own eyes and hearing their prayers with your own ears and receiving the blessings of their good favor. Lord Brahma, he prayed to be a mountain at the place where Srimati Radharani was performing her leelas, so that her lotus feet and the lotus feet of her associates would be upon the top of his head. Yes. The greatest treasure of all treasures is the transcendental love that was personified by Srimati Radharani and the gopis of Braj. Years later, Krishna invited the Brijavasis to Kurukshetra. He met Srimati Radharani and the gopis at Samanta Panchak. The gopis expressed to Krishna that we have given everything, our hearts, our lives, only for you. And years ago you sent Uddhava to Vrindavan. And through him you sent a message that we should meditate on you. And that if we meditate upon you, we will always experience your presence within your hearts. But Krishna, we are not yogis. We have no business meditating. We're just simple cowherd girls. We don't care anything for mystical perfections. We have no capacity for this type of meditation. Our love for you is unconditional. We simply want to serve you. We don't care about bodily inconveniences. We don't care about death. We don't care anything for any material positions or comforts. Our love for you is causeless, unconditional, only for your satisfaction. And you have left us. So long ago, you sent this message from Uddhava to meditate, to contemplate, that you'll be in our hearts. Please come back to Vrindavan. Vrindavan is our hearts. Radharani was praying like this. Do you not miss Govardhan, Jamuna, the place where you performed your Ras Lila with us? Do you not miss your mother and father, Yashoda and Nanda? Do you not consider that we're dying in separation? Radharani said, I don't care for my own life, but look at all of your other associates. Why do you do this to them? Please return and save their lives. We are drowning in an ocean of separation, and we are being devoured by the Timangila fish of our aspiration to serve you. Please return to Vrindavan and satisfy our heart's desires. Krishna was very overwhelmed with the prayers of the gopis. And he told Srimati Radharani, he told his heart, that my love for you, my love for you is the supreme object of my life. I have gone to Mathura and then gone to Dwarka to perform my duties. So many asuras with massive armies were trampling upon the earth and terrorizing the innocent people and plaguing the world with adharma, irreligion. It is my duty to deliver the innocent, the pious, and my devotees from all of this. But I know the pangs of suffering that you are enduring in separation from me. And in my heart, I am suffering the same separation. Krishna said, every day I worship Lord Narayan, and by his grace, I personally come and enter into your hearts just to keep you alive, because I know you cannot survive without me. But you do not see, but you can feel my presence. But in only a few days, there's only two or four more asuras that I must deliver. And then I promise you, I will return to Vrindavan. And Krishna said that others, they worship me with great devotion because they want to achieve the highest perfection of reaching my eternal abode. And those who attain me and achieve the perfection of my abode, they consider themselves very fortunate. But I consider myself fortunate because I have received the affection that is in your heart. Krishna spoke in such a way that Srimati Radharani understood his heart, and she was a little satisfied that yes, Krishna understands our love, and therefore he will soon come back to Vrindavan. Then Krishna spoke. He said, your love for me is the highest perfection. Your love for me is so high that even I cannot understand it. And even though you have done everything, you've given your hearts and your lives only to serve me, I have caused you so much pain trying to perform my duties. Therefore, I consider myself a criminal. Then Krishna, with great humility, bowed his head and reached down to touch Srimati Radharani's lotus feet in repentance. Srimati Radharani immediately jumped away so he could not touch her feet. And she said, Why are you coming to touch my feet? You have done nothing wrong. You have every right to do your duties. You are perfect. You are the master of all masters. To perform your duties is your right. It is not your fault that we are suffering. You are simply doing everything perfectly. I am your servant. I am your servant, and you could deal with me in any way you please. But what kind of servant am I? Although there is such great affection in my heart, in separation from you, I still live. The fact that I am living without you means I don't have a drop of real love for you. Therefore, I am the criminal. You should not touch my feet. You are right and justified in every way, but I am the criminal. Because there is still breath in my lungs, there is still pulse in my heart, in separation from you. What kind of faithfulness do I have? What kind of love that I am still living? This is the mood of Srimati Radharani's love. And it is this love that conquers the heart of Krishna. In fact, Krishna, who is the knower of everything past, present, and future, there's only one thing in all of existence that he cannot fully understand. the extent of Srimati Radharani's love. What is it about me that gives her so much bliss? What is the happiness that she feels in tasting the sweetness of my love? What is the nature of her love? What is the happiness that she feels in her love for me? Krishna could not understand. But one thing he could understand is that he was thoroughly under the control of Srimati Radharani's devotion. Therefore, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the love of Sri Radhika is supreme, because it even conquers the supreme. We have this beautiful painting of Holi, where there's a battle between Radha and Krishna, the gopas and the gopis, trying to defeat each other with their love, which is personified through various beautiful natural colors that they're spraying and sprinkling upon each other. They're trying to conquer each other with wonderfully prepared sweetmeats by giving it, giving it, giving it. It's a war. Wouldn't it be nice if this was the way all wars were? Wars of love. Trying to conquer the other person by showing I have more love for you than you have for me. War of servitude. Who could serve? Who could give more honor and glory to the other? This is spiritual society. Materialistic society, people have their own false egos. I'm right, you're wrong. I'm good, you're not so good. I'm best, you're least. Yes? So much competition on every level. Whatever little we have, we're trying to outdo others with that. With whatever we possess, with our physical features, with our abilities, with our powers. So much conflict and competition in this world based on ego, based on enmity, envy, greed. But in Vrindavan, there's a beautiful war going on, the battle of love. This is Vaishnavism. We have seen in Lord Chaitanya's associates, they're trying to touch each other's feet, trying to humble themselves. Touching feet of someone is humbling yourself. It's not just a ritual. It has to come from your heart. When Uddhava wanted to be a piece of grass in Vrindavan, what was his prayer? It wasn't just a ritual. Uddhava was honestly, earnestly wanting to take that low, putting himself in a low position subordinate to the gopis. And when we call someone Prabhu, when we try to take the dust of the feet of a devotee, it has to come from the heart to be real. That we're really putting ourselves in a subordinate position. In other words, we're being conquered by you. Hare Krishna. Krishna consciousness is not about conquering. Krishna consciousness is about being conquered. How many people are striving to be conquered? That is our ideal. To be conquered by love. To be the intimate servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. So, yes, you're speaking. What was I speaking?
Haribo. Holy, yes, holy.
This is the spirit of Vrindavan. Radharani and Krishna are having a battle of love. I will conquer you with my love. And who is always victorious? Srimati Radharani. Love conquers the beloved. Therefore, Krishna wants to understand and taste the sweetness of Srimati Radharani's love. Therefore, he descends as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what was the nature of Lord Chaitanya's love? He expressed the same sentiments as Srimati Radharani in Kurukshetra. He said, Why am I shedding torrents of tears day and night in separation from Krishna? Why? I can tell you why. Because I want to put on a show for others. I'm pretending that I have love of God. I'm deceiving people. I'm a hypocrite. Because if I had even a drop of love of God, I could not possibly sustain my life in separation from Krishna. The fact that I am still breathing alive means there is not even a particle of drop of love of Krishna in my heart. These were the ecstasies of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya taught us, Trinadapi sunichena taror iva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sada hari. This is the spirit of Srimati Radharani's mercy. If we really, really are desiring the highest ideal of love for Krishna, we must follow in the footsteps of these great personalities like Brahma or Uddhava. If even the greatest devotees like Radharani and Lord Chaitanya are considering that they have no love, what is our position? Thinking that I'm a great devotee, I'm a great Vaishnav, I am senior to others, I can speak better, I could sing better, I could perform various services better, I have gotten such good results, look at what I have done. What is our position? Trinadapi suniche na taror iva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. This is realistic way of thinking. This is the prayer when we actually assimilate within our life, makes our heart fertile for real bhakti to grow. To feel ourselves humble like a blade of grass. To be tolerant like a tree. To be eager to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. Even amongst devotees, sometimes conflict, competition, inimical disagreements, based on the false ego. We cannot enter the land of Vrindavan even if we have a trace of a drop of false ego in our hearts. We could sing about the gopis. We could dance like the gopis. We could dress like the gopis. We could speak about the gopis eloquently, scientifically, thoroughly, according to shastras. But we're not going to make real advancement toward Vrindavan simply by that. As long as we have pride within our heart. Rupa Goswami drove Jiva Goswami out of Vrindavan. He said, this is not a place for anyone who even has a drop of pride in their heart. You go. Jiva Goswami had no pride in his heart. He was perfectly pure and humble. He simply tried to defend the reputation of his guru. But Rupa Goswami wanted to test him. And ultimately, he wanted to glorify him to the world. Here is Jiva Goswami, the greatest philosopher that ever lived, who's rendering the most menial, humble services for his spiritual master. And his spiritual master is saying, you're proud, get out. He doesn't defend himself. He cries. He said, yes, I am proud. I have no qualification to be here. And he leaves. And he performs great, great penances to repent for his pride and try to purify it from his heart. And there's nothing there. How astonishing, how amazing. There's not a drop of false ego in his heart, and he's spending days and days doing penances and austerities to purify himself from something that's not there. That is his humility. Yes, Rupa Goswami sent him out of Vrindavan just to show the whole world the glories of Jiva Goswami. But soon he returned. Rupa Goswami came to get him, and Rupa Goswami personally nursed him to health with his own hands. Although he's his spiritual master. What is the humility of Rupa Goswami? Digvijay Pandit comes to defeat him in Sanatan. I have come to challenge you to debate. Huh? You've come to challenge to debate? Why us? Because you are known as great scholars. I want to defeat you. And then claim to the world that I am the world champion. Rupa and Sanatan said, there's no reason to waste your time with little people like us. We admit defeat. Then sign this document. I have been totally defeated by Rupa Narayan Pandit. And sign your name. So they wrote it and signed. That's how humble Rupa and Sanatan were. They don't care what anyone thinks. Sri Rati Radharani, what is her humility? In Vrindavan, it is said, Krishna quoted this to Uddhava. He said, when Radharani, when she goes to Jamuna, people criticize her. Radharani says, everyone's going to Jamuna. But when I go to Jamuna, people say I'm an unchaste girl. I'm going to find Krishna. But she said, let it be, Krishna, let it be. Blasphemy, assassination of my reputation and character, if it is in the service of you, I will accept that blasphemy as a very fragrant flower garland and happily put it around my neck for your pleasure. That is a devotee. So Rupa Goswami, they didn't care if the whole world thinks that they were defeated. But when Jiva Goswami defeated that person to defend their reputation, Rupa Goswami sent Jiva out. And Jiva Goswami accepted it. Such humility. That is devotional service. That is what we must strive for. No, there should not be this type of enmity or competition to show ourselves better than someone else. You can impress the world, but you will be rejected by Krishna. Krishna sees from within the heart. What is our simplicity? What is our humility? What is our service attitude? What is our dedication? That is what bhakti is about. Today is Radhastami. Radharani appears within this world to reveal the highest essence of life, pure unalloyed devotion. She is the supreme reservoir. Without her mercy, no one can attain that devotion. In the form of Lord Chaitanya, she's distributing her love to the whole world through the chanting of the holy names. But she's teaching us the process by which we must take shelter of the holy names. Humility like a blade of grass. Tolerance like a tree. Eager to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. We have seen that when we're humble, we can take shelter. That's the only way we can really overcome lust and envy and anger and greed. We must strive to do that. But with the help of God, everything is possible. But there must be total humility to take shelter of the Lord. And what does humility mean? It really means to be grateful for the good and to be grateful even for the difficulties, the pains and the obstacles that come in our life. That is humility. It's not just a matter of bowing down and saying, I am your servant. It's actually having a grateful heart. And with that grateful heart, learning how to honor and respect others. Then we could chant the name of the Lord in such a way that Krishna will be pleased to manifest himself in our hearts. This is the message of Lord Chaitanya, servant of the servant of the servant. This is the message of Srimati Radharani. Yes, through this Harinam Sankirtan movement, Srimati Radharani has personally come to this world to invite us all into the inner circle of her loving pastimes with Gopinath. Such fortune we have received. On Jaladuta, Srila Prabhupada wrote a beautiful prayer. Oh, my brothers, your good fortune will be attained only when Srimati Radharani bestows her mercy upon you. Srila Prabhupada traveled around the world 13 times with great difficulties with this purpose, just to connect us to that nectarine flow of causeless mercy that's eternally flowing from the heart of Srimati Radharani. It's flowing and available for everyone. But in this world, only rare souls are willing to accept it. Srila Prabhupada has taught us everything that is required to be known. In essence, we must be simple. We must learn to deeply appreciate the association of devotees. We must be very eager to serve in that association with humility, determination, enthusiasm. We must be very careful and strict in performing our sadhana to purify our hearts. And we must learn to be servant, compassionate instrument of God and Guru toward every living being. That is the simple message. Krishna Nam, Jivadoya, and Vaishnav Seva. So on this most holy day of Radhastami, let us take this gift that she has so profusely showered upon us in the form of Srila Prabhupada's example, his teachings, and the wonderful society he has created. Let us seek shelter and try to share that good fortune with others. Yes, Radhastami is a very favorite day of Krishna because it is a day when we extol the glories of Srimati Radharani, who is the proprietor of his life and soul. Radhastami is such an auspicious day. Srimati Radharani, she appeared like the beautiful golden sun from the ocean of Brishabhanu's good fortune. And the brilliant effulgent light of that sun has come to remove all darkness and bestow good fortune upon all of us. Shri Radharani ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So yes, Hare Krishna mantra is the incarnations of Shri Radha and Krishna with their full opulences. They have come to eliminate all the darkness in our hearts and awaken the light of life's ultimate perfection. So in this spirit that we have discussed today, let us take shelter of the holy names. Thank you very much.